Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson. And today's guest is committed to helping those who have experienced trauma and grief to find hope and healing. Her unique background positions her to be able to effectively convey a message that translates to a diverse audience. After receiving her BA in journalism from the University of Iowa, she accepted a position at Channel 20 WYCC, but eventually she left the television industry to serve as the executive director of a youth center on Chicago's South Side. While there, she earned her master's degree in social work from the University of Chicago and a master's in theological studies from McCormick Theological Seminary. She is an ordained minister and the founder of Faith on the Journey Counseling. She is also the author of the book, Breaking the Power of the Mask, and a master facilitator with the Trauma Healing Institute. Let's welcome to the CWS stage, Ms. Jocelyn Jones.
Hey, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, I'm excited to get into this with you, just talking about the book and how all of your experiences help you get to this point. So what is the story? Why this? Why now?
That's a great question. When I think about the process of writing this book, I had wanted to write a book for several years. I just didn't know about what. Mm-hmm. And when I was in the process of beginning to write, one of the things I had to come to terms with was myself, in terms of how for many years I was stuck in my past due to trauma and mistakes that I made. And I pretended very well. Most people would not know that I was struggling with a lot of shame, a lot of hurt, because I performed. I presented myself as a perfectionist, someone who was always happy. And when I sat and thought about it, I'm like, I was wearing a mask long before COVID. I was wearing a mask every day. And so when I thought about that, I was like, man, this is something that really impedes someone from being able to heal from the pain of their past. If you can't be honest with yourself, if you can't be honest looking at yourself in the mirror, if you can't even be honest before God, how are you going to ever heal? And so that was the thing that led me to write the book, was dealing with the fact that if people don't learn to remove the mask, break the power that the mask has over their life, then they will never be able to deal with the issues that are hidden underneath so that God can actually heal them. Mm-hmm. And so that inspired me to write this first book.
What led you to wearing the mask? I think people would want to know that.
You know, I think that I felt like I had to wear a mask because I took on this idea that I needed to be perfect. And that was something, it wasn't due to trauma that I experienced early on, but my father had high expectations for my brother and I, and he always taught us to strive for excellence. But in my little mind, I interpreted that as perfection. And so I felt like I needed to present myself a certain way. And then I am a Black woman, and there are cultural beliefs around being a strong Black woman. Mm-hmm. And so that also was impressed upon me that I needed to present myself a certain way. I needed to have it all together all the time. And these are things that God didn't put on us. This is not what my faith taught me, but from a cultural standpoint, that's what I believed. And that did not serve me well, because what was happening when I was holding all this stuff inside for so many years, it led to eventual breakdowns, and you can't keep it all together for the long run like that when you're hurting. And so I really had to come to terms with self that, Jocelyn, you need to get help. You need to start facing the stuff that you've been running from. And you don't have to be perfect. It's not possible actually to be perfect. And you don't have to be strong all the time.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say to the person who is feeling like that right now? Like, they have to be the one that's strong all the time.
Well, I want to tell them that that's something that you eventually are going to have to let down, that mantle of feeling like you have to carry it all by yourself, because it was a weight that God never intended us to carry. And it's something that's not sustainable, and you're going to hurt yourself and others in the long run. Mm-hmm. I think that it's strength and vulnerability. The Bible even kind of speaks to, you know, in our weakness, you know, God shows strong, essentially. And so God's strength in our weakness is what we need to be relying on. And I also, I believe it does a disservice to those who we're in relationship with if we only show them the armor side of us, mm-hmm. the strength side of us, and they never get a chance to see us in our vulnerable state. It prevents people from being able to fully love us and care for us in the way in which they want to, because they never get the chance to fully see our authentic selves because we don't show it. Mm-hmm. And so if we ever want to fully experience that type of love from those who we're in intimate relationships with, we have to be willing to remove the mask. We have to be at a place where we're not strong all the time, and we allow people who care about us to truly see us. Mm-hmm. That's scary, it's hard, but it's necessary in order for us to experience intimacy in our relationships.
Yeah, and ultimately, what it sounds like is if you don't take off the mask, you will even interact with God in that same way.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's like, who we fooling?
Right.
God knows.
He already knows us. He wants us to talk to him, and to, even though he knows us, it's for us to talk to him and share and let go so we can get to know ourselves and that we can grow in the ways that we need to grow.
Exactly. That's right.
I love it. So state the name of your book title once more for the audience.
It's called Breaking the Power of the Mask. Like you're breaking something in half, breaking the power of the mask.
And what are the key elements that they will find in this book?
So it talks about understanding your relationship with the mask and mm-hmm. the pain points that you have that are hidden right underneath. We dive deep into shame, unforgiveness, and grief. And then also we talk about anger and what might be underneath your anger and how the pain that you've been running from could be affecting you physically. It can affect your relationships and how the mask might show up in your life. It might show up in perfection. It might show up as power and control. And so we talk about that. And then we go into the courage that it takes to remove your mask in safe environments. And then once you do remove your mask, the process of actually beginning to heal those hidden wounds. And mm-hmm. then eventually becoming a wounded healer, that once you deal with your stuff and begin the process of healing, while you're in your healing process, you can begin the process of helping other people to heal as well.
Mm-hmm. So this is just not for you. This is for the people that are in your life, the people that you're connected with, because they may need you, but not in the perfectionist type of way. But just like you said, to see that vulnerability, to know that it's okay to be like that, that we were not created to be these independent creatures separated from God, but we are to embrace who God has created us to be, and through him have our strength.
Amen. That's it.
Can you give people an example?
You have certain things, for example, unforgiveness, that eats away at you slowly. It's like a slow death. It's a slow poison that's like infiltrating your body. And we have to be able to identify those areas in our lives where we might be harboring unforgiveness, because it's keeping us captive. It's keeping us like we're stuck in a cage. Like if you envision with me a bird that's in a cage, they're stuck in this cage of unforgiveness. And the key to getting out is choosing to release that person to God, acknowledging that this person hurt me. And, you know, I was wounded by it. It was wrong, but I'm not going to continue to stay in this cage of unforgiveness. I'm going to release this person to God so I can experience freedom in my soul from the hold that this has on me. That's a process. That's not easy. But if we don't choose to deal with the unforgiveness, that anger that we're harboring, that anger begins to turn into bitterness. It forms bitter roots. It begins to affect our health. It begins to affect our personality. I always say to people, like, if you see someone who's bitter, the question that we need to be asking is, who hurt them? What happened to them? Because that's not their personality, even though they might think it is. It's just the fact that they were hurt and they never dealt with it. And so looking at that and seeing this is a sense of urgency in terms of me dealing with these things. We can't continue to put it off, because at the end it hurts myself and it also hurts others who we're in relationship with.
Yeah. And then culturally, as we look at the African-American community, there's been a lot of hurt done to the African-American community. And so what are some ways that we're seeing this being processed out inappropriately?
Oh, great question. I think that sometimes we look at the kids on the street who are choosing to go to drugs or choosing to join gangs or become violent in their action. That's the effects of trauma that's passed down. I remember when I first started working at a youth center on the Chicago South Side, and I would notice that a lot of the young people were addicted to weed and smoking and drinking. And that's the result of them not being able to cope with all the trauma that they were exposed to. I mean, at some point, you are going to shut down. I was talking to a young girl one time at the youth center, and I asked her, I'm like, sweetheart, you just lost one of your best friends to gun violence. It's okay to cry. And she shared with me, she said, Miss Jocelyn, if I cried every time I lost someone to gun violence, I'd be crying all the time. I can't cry anymore. You know, and so when we see the perpetual violence and systemic racism, and we see the broken school systems and poverty and all these other things that contribute to the environmental trauma that people are experiencing, individuals are coping in ways that they only know how to cope, which is they might be through drugs and alcohol. It might be they might are compelled to fight, because it's fight, flight, is fight, flight, or freeze mode mm-hmm. when it comes to trauma. So some people respond by fighting, and that's the anger, and that's and the outburst that we see. And so it's sad when you see it. It's not to condone behavior of violence. I'm not condoning it, mm-hmm. but I do understand what it's the result of. And we mm-hmm. do need to be able to acknowledge those root causes in order for us to begin to heal our communities.
But some people would probably say, well, if they just went to church, they would understand. But that's not necessarily true. Can you share on that?
Yeah. You know, I think that, I always love to encourage people to go to church, but they ain't there yet. You know, mm-hmm. and I think in order for people to get to a point where they are open to receiving the love of Christ, they need to know that they even matter and there's hope. And there's a relationship there. You know, when I was working at St. Sabina for many years, we engaged a lot of young brothers and sisters who were from the street. And eventually they did join the church. But that wasn't the first thing that we thought about doing when it came to our outreach to them. The first thing is, do you have food? Do you have a job? Are your basic needs met? Again, mm-hmm. many of the young people we are working with are in survival mode. They ain't trying to hear about Jesus right now. It's how am I about to pay my rent? You know, and so I think we have to meet people where they are and show them the love of Christ. Focus on that first. Let them know that they matter. And when they see the light of Christ through you, eventually they'll be compelled to say, okay, I'm interested in what you got. But if we start leading with scripture and Bible thumping first, we're going to run them away. They ain't even going to want to hear what we got to say, because we're focusing on that versus focusing on the fact, I see your humanity. I see the divine in you, and I care about you, and I'm going to invest in you. So I think sometimes we get it the opposite way. We turn things around.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we think about how Jesus executed his ministry, he started with meeting people's needs first. And one of the examples that came to my mind as you were talking was the woman at the well. He didn't start telling her that she was wrong for how she was living. The first thing he did was see her as a human. Because when she came to the well, and as a minister, you understand this, when she came to the well, she came during a time where other people would not be there because of how people were treating her. And so first thing he did was treated her as a human being by even saying, give me something to drink. Like, I'm willing to engage with you in ways that other people are not interested in engaging you. And after that, he spoke to her about her spiritual status. And that is what definitely I feel like is needed among the communities who have faced all of this trauma and it's repeating itself. And so you have to get in there and break the cycle. But where is the church? Are we really being the hands and feet of Jesus? And a lot of times people are scared to engage in this community. And it's not saying don't be wise. You absolutely need to be wise as you do engage with certain communities. But what are we actually doing besides talking about it? And that's across cultures.
That's it. Right. We got a faith without works. What is it? It's dead.
It's absolutely dead.
And we talk. And people from the outside, the church walls are looking at you all like, wait, y'all talk a good game at the church, but what are you doing? And I'm not saying just you. What am I doing? They need to see action. And so we have to have the two in order to be effective. And I think right now we need to focus more on the doing when it comes to this outreach, being with the people, not saying that we're above them, not judging them, but trying to understand them in their walk. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell people what's next for you, Jocelyn.
Yeah. So right now I'm working on a couple exciting projects. Right now I'm working to engage churches to become trauma healing communities. And so if any church is interested, I have a free guide, a trauma healing resource guide for churches. If you visit traumahealingchurch.com, you'll get a free guide on just some steps that you can take to be a church that's trauma informed. And I'm working with them to train them to have ministries that are trauma healing ministries to engage people who've been impacted by trauma. And in the next week or so, I'm going to be launching the Trauma Healing Network. That is for individuals who feel called to work in the ministry of helping other people heal from trauma, and they're trying to discern their walk. And so there's resources that I'll be putting in that community for people, live webinars, and other tools to help people to start their ministry. And then the last thing is I'll be releasing my book, hopefully within the next year, my second book. And so people can be on the lookout for that on my website.
It all sounds exciting. You're definitely making an impact on the world with what you're doing. Can you repeat the website name for the people to make sure they heard it?
Sure. So all of my stuff that I'm working on, you can find at JocelynJJones.com. Again, that's JocelynJJones.com. Or you can visit my ministry website at faithonthejourney.org. Again, that's faithonthejourney.org. There you'll find information for everything that we're doing on the healing ministry side.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, Jocelyn, we're about to wrap up your interview. And boy, we got into it, some deep topics really quickly. But what is the one thing that you hope people will take away from the things that you said and that they can implement into their life today?
I just want everyone to realize that their life, it makes a difference what you do on this side of glory. And I feel like God is calling each of us to play our role in discipleship and helping other people to experience God's love. But that begins with us first. So before we can help others, we have to tend to our own needs. We have to be honest with our own needs, and we need to ask for help when we need help. It's okay to say that we're not okay. It's okay to reach out and say, I need to talk to someone. And so let's remove the mask, be honest with ourselves, be honest with God, be honest with those who we're in close communion with, so we can be our best selves. And in through that, we'll be able to pour out and be our best selves to others to do the work of the kingdom.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Jocelyn. CWS audience, boy, there has been a lot said here today, and I could go on and on. I think my challenge for you today is, yes, first remove the mask from you. And when I say remove the mask, there are a couple of different ways that Jocelyn and I talked about. First, deal with whatever is holding you back from being all that God has called you to be. Also, remove the mask that you are doing everything God has actually called you to do. If you see that there are communities around you that are struggling and that you are not a part of the solution, then stop pretending like you are and get out there and actually do the work. Activate your faith so that other people can see the God in you and desire the healing that you yourself are going to go through. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, beautiful people, God bless.